Just a few years ago, Florence, Alabama, still called itself the T-shirt capital of the U.S. For decades, the apparel industry flourished in Florence. Thousands of people found work in those mills. And then it all fell apart. Cheap T-shirts from China shattered the domestic industry and put every single mill in Florence out of business. This story is the last of our series inspired by the book The Travels of a T-Shirt in the Global Economy by Georgetown University professor Pietro Rivoli. Rivoli joined NPR's Adam Davidson on a visit to Florence to see what happens when the global economy arrives in a small American city.
When Mark McCreary was 26, he sat down with his father and his sister. They wanted to quit their jobs and start a family business. And in 1971, there was nothing as promising as the T-shirt industry. Business boomed, and so did the McCreary's new company, Lexington Fabrics. Starting with close to nothing, they built a $50 million a year business with more than 1,000 employees.
This is where our business started, up here on this pretty hill in northwest Alabama. It's kind of a sad state of affairs today. As you can see, it's been idle for a long time and it's not being kept up, and it's kind of depressing to see all of this.
McCreary remembers when this place was humming with trucks coming in with yarn and leaving packed with finished T-shirts. T-shirt plants all over Florence were doing great right through the 1990s. Back then, McCreary was terrified of the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA. He thought local plants couldn't compete with Mexican companies and their cheaper labor, but he adjusted quickly and continued to thrive, at least for a while.
It's really been, I would say, the China influence, the Asian influence, that's really been the wooden stake in the heart, you know. I mean, it has killed this business.
It happened in a shockingly short amount of time. In the 1990s, Chinese manufacturers were turning out shoddy T-shirts. By 2001, they caught up on quality, but kept their prices so low that even the most successful American companies couldn't compete anymore.
You can't fix this by working harder. You can't fix this by being optimistic and challenging your team and inspiring them and new equipment and all the things that we looked at over the years that would usually make things better. This is a global situation. None of us could figure this out.
One day in March 2003, McCreary walked into the plant, gathered the whole staff together, and told them Lexington Fabrics would close in a few weeks.
I was right there at it when he said that. Sad day, real sad. And it's still bad.
Jeffrey McDonald worked at Lexington Fabrics for 29 years. He's 50 now and started right after he graduated high school.
Well, we'll just make that cut right through there.
Today, McDonald works in Electric Saw, a small company that cuts surplus fabric into rags. He makes half of what he did at Lexington, and he doesn't have health insurance. He says it's pathetic, an American worker going from making quality T-shirts to cutting cheap rags.
I believe somebody come in here maybe one day and put all the workers back in these buildings, and maybe one of these days we're going to hope and pray they do, because they sure is a bunch of good people around here that it needs to work.
Several thousand textile workers lost their jobs in Florence in the last few years. But when you drive around the city, there's no sense of devastation. In fact, the data show that the city's getting by. After an initial spike, unemployment keeps going down, average wages keep going up. The majority of laid-off textile workers have found new jobs.
So you just hold the fabric down, you put this on it, and you shoot it. And it holds it in place. Just keep your finger out of the way.
Glenn Spencer and his partner Jimmy Hollis opened their own upholstery shop. They're doing well and can hardly believe they've become successful small businessmen. They used to work at a Lee's plant, sewing side seams on jeans. They thought they'd work there until they retired, but the plant closed in 2001. After an initial panic, they learned that the federal government provides money to retrain textile workers laid off due to trade, so they took a year-long upholstery course. Their lives have changed completely.
We wanted to be our own boss and not have to go back and answer to somebody else. And it's been really good for us. And I believe my stomach would just knot up if I had to go sit back down to a machine like that.
They're not alone. One friend got a degree in engineering. Several others went to nursing school. In fact, about two-thirds of laid-off textile workers eventually recover from job loss and earn the same or even more money. A third, though, are like Jeffrey McDonald. They never recover and earn less money for the rest of their lives. Pietra Rivoli, who wrote the book The Travels of a T-Shirt in the Global Economy, says she was fascinated by the fierce anti-globalization protests a few years ago. At first, she thought the activists were naive.
I still remember looking out at a sea of placards during the WTO protest and seeing an activist waving a big sign that said, "Capitalism is death." And I remember thinking, no, capitalism isn't death.
She says capitalism and global trade have brought economic growth to nearly every country that's tried them. But globalization, the rapid growth of international trade, helps some people and hurts others. Free trade can improve living standards all over the globe. But then there are those who lose their jobs or are treated badly at work. And Rivoli says activists have forced the people who benefit from world trade to pay attention to those who lose.
The activists, even when they're misguided, even when they're ill-informed, even when it appears they don't understand the very basic rules of economics, play a critical role in enabling human progress. They play a critical role in improving the course that trade and globalization takes.
Rivoli says that activists and corporations don't often acknowledge it, but in a curious way, they are working together. The activists have forced many companies to improve working conditions in the developing world. This would not have happened without protests by skeptics of globalization. And, without meaning to, the activists may have done the Nikes and Gaps of the world a big favor. By making changes they wouldn't have done on their own, these companies can now assure their customers that when they buy a T-shirt from abroad, there's a good chance things are getting better and not worse in the country named on the label. There are still cruel sweatshops overseas and despairing former textile workers here in the U.S. But, Rivoli says, the tension between companies and activists may just continue to make life better for many people all over the world. Adam Davidson, NPR News.
To hear previous reports from the series and to read excerpts from The Travels of a T-Shirt in the Global Economy, you can go to our website, npr.org.